Good morning. The name Joel is a versatile name. Some people start their day with a good cup of Joel. There's the ever-popular sloppy Joel. A normal guy is sometimes called a regular Joel. A nice, decent man is sometimes referred to as a really good Joel. And don't forget about G.I. Joe and Joe Cool. Yeah, more on Joel later. But a couple of days ago, Prof. Udy shared some thoughts of Martin Luther's about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luther wrote of what he called the three miracles of Christmas. As you recall, he mentioned the virgin birth, the combination of God and man in the person of Jesus, and Mary's remarkable faith that this miraculous birth could actually happen through her. I mean, this was an amazing event. The only problem was that she wasn't married, as we think of marriage today. She had been betrothed to this man named Joseph. We don't know a lot about Joseph. What we do know that he had royal blood flowing through his veins, a member of the house and lineage of David. That's why when it came time to be counted, he had to travel south to Bethlehem, the city of his famous ancestor. And even though it was a rather inconvenient time for him and his wife, Joseph obediently made the trek with his pregnant betrothed wife. But even before this, we find out that Joseph was a decent man. This is not to say he was perfect. He wasn't. In fact, the Bible often speaks of righteous men, so-called righteous men, in very glowing terms. We see a lot of examples like Enoch walked with God, or Job was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. David was called a man after God's own heart. These are high compliments from God toward men that had committed some pretty horrible sins, like we all do. One of them got drunk. One blamed God and cursed the day he was born. One even committed murder and adultery. And yet, God had uses for each one of these guys. Despite their many weaknesses, God developed in them a love of the promise and a Christian decency and faithfulness that saw them through tough times. Joseph, the subject of our little profile today, had one of those tough times. He was betrothed to Mary. This meant they were not living together as man and wife yet, but their intention to do so was public knowledge. In fact, they likely followed the Jewish tradition, meaning there would have been an official ceremony marking their betrothal. So, betrothal in their culture was pretty much how we think of marriage today, except that they weren't living together yet as man and wife. Sometime later, we know that Mary went to visit her relative Elizabeth, who was in the sixth month of her pregnancy with John. Mary was also expecting, having recently been conceived by the Holy Spirit. After visiting 3 months, Mary returned to her home. And imagine Joseph, how heart-wrenching this must have been up in Nazareth for Joseph, seeing his future wife come back to Nazareth, his future wife Mary, pregnant with a child that obviously wasn't his. What must have gone through his mind? Was he angry? Was he resentful? Did he feel stabbed in the back? We're not told, but maybe he felt all of these things. But Mary knew something that Joseph did not. We are not told of any confrontation or even a conversation that these two had. But it seems plausible to assume that she would have explained herself to Joseph by sharing the news that was given to her by the angel Gabriel. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And later, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. If Mary told Joseph all of this, he didn't believe it. Not at first, anyway. What we are told is that Joseph, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Even though Joseph thought Mary to be unfaithful to him, he wanted to save her from public scorn and ridicule, and maybe even from stoning, which was the punishment in a case like this under Mosaic law. But at the same time, he knew that it would be wrong to look the other way. In his mind, the relationship was over. His solution was to put her away secretly. Oh, the thoughts that were going through his head. But then, Joseph was paid a visit. We read, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Joseph was really quick to believe now. What a turnaround in his mind. And what a relief this must have been for this just and decent man. And how fitting it is that God would choose Joseph to raise his son on earth in the little town of Nazareth. For some of the good traits we find in Joseph are also manifested by God himself. God is just. God is righteous. God is loving. And of course, Joseph's traits fall way short of the perfection demanded by God. And so do ours. In fact, God's justice would cause him to put us away to suffer the hell that we deserve for all of our sins. But his heart of love would not stand by and let all the sinners die eternally. Instead, he sent his son. He sent him to live the perfect life that we couldn't, to make the proper payment on the cross for our sins, and to rise again to seal our salvation. And he sent him as a little child. The child that arrived when the fullness of the time had come, 42 generations of waiting after King David, 75 generations by my count after Adam. The child miraculously conceived and carried by the Virgin Mary in the womb. The child raised by a man and his wife in their home who needed him in their hearts. Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed soft, undefiled within my heart, that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee. We'll sing a couple of stanzas from that same hymn as printed on the screen.